James chapter 1, James chapter 5. In James chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now immediately right there you're thinking, what in the world? Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's James chapter 1. Now turn, if you would, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, look if you would, at verse 7. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, again for your word that we can read and study, and Lord, that we can learn from you, learn about you, Lord. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that we will learn what you would have us to know, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray this morning of anybody who lacks, Lord, I pray that they will receive from you this morning. For anybody here that's not saved this morning, I pray that they'll be saved. Lord, I just pray you'll have your way with these people this morning, Lord, and speak to our hearts. And help us to stay focused, Lord, on what the Bible is saying. Help us, Lord, to, as we hear what the Bible is saying to us, Lord, help us to look at ourselves and judge ourselves the way the Bible judges us. And Lord, I pray that we'll do something about it this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's something that is really one of the most valuable things that a person could possibly have on this earth, and yet is the one thing that most of us lack. And that is what both passages, both James chapter 1 and James chapter 5, talked about a lot. How many of you noticed that the word patience was used over and over and over? The book of James began with talking about patience. By the time you get to chapter 5, he's still talking about patience. And so patience is a very valuable thing. In fact, patience is so valuable that if you haven't learned to have patience, you're probably not going to learn a whole lot of other things, because it takes patience to have other things. For example, if you were going to learn to play the piano, you would need patience. If you were to learn to play any instrument, you'd need to be patient, or at least learn patience. You could not be a very good teacher unless you are a very patient person, or at least have some sort of patience. And many of you can attest to that. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:24, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You got to be patient. And patience is something that so many of us lack. Sometimes we think we have patience, but really we don't. And when we see the word patience, we kind of think that it has to do with working on tedious things. How many of you are working on something that was really small and you say, well, I just don't have the patience to do this? Well, that's really not what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about patience. It's talking more about enduring something. In other words, when things are going not the way we want them to go, for us to endure that with patience. Even when he's talking about teaching, when you're teaching people, how many of you know that not everybody gets it the first time? And when you tell them something, to you it may seem simple, but to them it's not. And so maybe they're not getting it the way you're teaching it just yet, so you got to have patience. Anytime that we're going through anything that we would consider to be uncomfortable in this life, we must have patience in that. Okay? And that's what it's talking about. Now, you will notice in the scriptures that generally you see God using unnamed, ordinary people to do things in the Bible. People who are just living ordinary lives. When you read both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see this. For example, in the New Testament, we see the boy, the young lad who had the loaves of bread and the fish. Nobody knows that young lad's name. Nobody, I mean, he's just a person who had it. It's the Lord who used what he had to do great things. And you're going to notice that through the scriptures, it's always the Lord using people who are just ordinary people to do great things. And so we think about the unidentified man who owned the colt that was tied up that the Lord rode in on. And as he was riding in on it, people were yelling out, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna to the highest." How many people know the name of the guy who owned the colt? You know what he was? He was just an ordinary, everyday guy who owned a colt. And so, you know, it's one thing to be faithful in trouble. It's one thing to be faithful in persecution. It's one thing to be faithful in prosperity. But, you know, it's something else just to be faithful in everyday life. You know, where we get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home, we're tired, we get something to eat, and then we go to bed, and the next morning we start again, and it's just, everybody here is just ordinary people, and I'm thankful for ordinary people, amen? And that's the way we are. But you know, sometimes with day in, day out, you know, sometimes we think that our lives don't matter, and sometimes we go through tough times, and we start to think that the times are just too tough for us, and we start to lack patience. And so what we need to understand is that the Lord told us to follow him. That is our task. That is our task. And we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be faithful. And what we really need is patience, every one of us. Now in James chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. It says in verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And so what he's saying here is this, that if we will be patient, then that patience will do a work within us. It'll get us to the point to where we're starting to advance for the Lord. In fact, one of the things that the scriptures tell us right here that is that patience leads to spiritual maturity. It leads to spiritual maturity. In other words, the more patient you are, the more spiritual mature you're going to be. How many of you know that little babies are not very patient at all? Amen? I mean, when it's time to eat, or when it's time to have milk, you just saw it, you just heard it, okay? Babies, when it's time to eat, man, it's time to eat, and they don't have patience. When that little tummy starts to ache because they're hungry, they don't want to wait around, they want it right now, amen? And they mean to let you know about it. Well, listen, that's kind of the way it is with baby Christians. When they're a baby Christian doesn't have a lot of patience. But you'll notice that as a Christian begins to grow, his patience has also grown as well. And so patience leads to spiritual maturity. That's the reason it says here in James 1:2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Count it all joy. In other words, when you're going through tough times, say amen and count it for joy. You got to be a spiritual Christian to do that. You got to be a mature Christian to do that. Because most Christians, we do not count it all joy when we face bad times. Amen? We don't. We think those are the worst times in the world. And a lot of times we want it to end. But, you know, he's saying here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And so he's talking about going through these temptations. Now, the word temptation in your Bible means trials or testings. Now, the word temptation in the book of James, you'll notice that it's used in two different senses. And if you don't understand that, then you're going to get confused. Because sometimes the word temptation means trial or testing, and other times it means the inducement to do evil. In other words, if I go through trials and tribulations, those are temptations in some places in the Bible. In other words, I'm going through a tough time. But there's also the temptation to do evil. That's also in the context in the book of James. And you'll see, you gotta understand the difference between the two, because if you don't, You're going to get confused because you're going to see where we're supposed to count it all joy when we go through diverse temptations. But yet, over in James 1:13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempt he any man. You go back to the Old Testament, you'll find out where God actually tempted people. Says he tempted people. But it wasn't to tempt them to do sin. In other words, he allowed things to happen in their life more as a testing. And so you see that. And you have to understand the difference here. There is the temptation, which is a test from God. And there's a temptation for us to be as an inducement to do evil. That comes from the devil. Now, God will send us temptations in the sense of trials. And God has a purpose for that. So trials are going to come. Temptations are going to come. And it says there, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into a diverse temptation. He doesn't say if you fall. He said when you fall into diverse temptations. Everyone here is in one of three categories. Either you're getting out of trouble, either you're in trouble, or you will be getting into trouble pretty soon. Amen? That's just, I mean, everybody here falls in one of those three categories. But we are to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations because these trials produce the patience that we need. Look at verse 3. He says this. In James chapter 1, verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, according to that verse, do you realize what you're asking for when you ask for patience? It says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So if you say, Lord, give me more patience, you know what you're asking for? For the Lord to try your faith. Because the trying of faith worketh patience. Let me even make it plainer. Here's what it says in Romans 5:3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So, you know, I've learned a long time ago, be careful what you ask the Lord for. When you say, Lord, give me more patience, better watch out, because it says here that tribulation worketh patience. It says back here that the trying your faith worketh patience. Listen, you can't get more patient unless something goes wrong, folks. You can't. If everything is great all the time, you don't have to be patient. We all have a problem with patience, mainly because we don't always go through some things. But I tell you this, you start to go through a few things, you'll start to learn patience. That's what tribulation does for you. It gives you patience. So when you're saying, Lord, give me patience, you're saying basically, Lord, send me tribulation. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, okay, and that's the case. I'm just not going to pray for patience then. Well, it's true that when you pay for patience that you can expect trials. But you got to remember that those trials work for you. They work for you. That's what helps you to mature spiritually. It's what helps give you patience. Therefore, we are to count it all joy when they come. Because the trials of the Christians are not obstacles, they're opportunities. And they're there for our spiritual maturity. In James chapter 1, look at verse 4 again. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When the Bible says that you'll be perfect, it is not talking about you being sinless. When the Bible talks about you being perfect, it's talking about you growing in spiritual maturity. So what these verses are saying is that when your faith is tried, that leads to us being more patient. And the more patient we become, the stronger our faith becomes, and the more spiritually mature we become. If you think about it, it kind of works the same way. If you go to the gym and you work out your muscles there in that gym, sometimes it hurts, especially the next day. But you go there and you work out. Sometimes there's soreness. Sometimes there's you're uncomfortable. Sometimes there's pain. And how many of you have ever been to the gym and heard somebody say, or maybe you've seen on TV where somebody will say, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. You know what they're saying? They're saying if you're working out and if you're hurting, you're doing some good. Because your muscles are hurting because they're trying to grow, they're trying to get bigger. And so they're saying no pain, no gain. And really that's the way it works when it comes to our faith being tested. As we go through tribulations, we can say the same thing. No pain, no gain. You have to go through it. Trials are no fun, and they cause discomfort. But without tribulations in life, without your faith being tested, you would never be able to grow as a Christian. Never. Now, we don't like trials. In fact, most of the time, whenever trials come, we'd rather have those trials removed rather than counting it all joy when they come. We pray, Lord, take it away. And that's what I tell you this, that's what I pray most of the time. Whenever things start to come and happen in my life that are not comfortable and situations I don't like, the first thing I say is, Lord, remove the situation from me. And I'm sure that every one of you do the same thing. That's our natural reaction to that. We don't like when things don't go good. We don't like when we're no longer comfortable in our lives. You know, if all of a sudden we get the flu, we don't like that. If all of a sudden we're facing some sort of financial problem, we don't like that. Or some medical problem, we don't like that. So we pray, Lord, take this away from us. But really, again, we have to go through some of these things in order to grow as Christians. You say, then what should we pray for then? I mean, if we're supposed to count it all joy when we go through diverse temptations, and we know that those temptations that increases our patience, and patience are doing a perfect work within us, and we understand these things, then what am I supposed to pray for? Well, James tells you right here in James chapter 1, look at verse 5. He says this, right after he tells you that we are to be happy and we are to rejoice when diverse temptations come, he says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, when we're facing trials and temptations, rather than asking God to remove those trials, we should be praying for wisdom on how to handle those trials and how to glorify him in those trials. Do you realize, folks, that every instance in that Bible where God allowed somebody to go through tough times, it was an opportunity for them to glorify God in those tough times. In every instance where God says, okay, I'm going to allow you to go through tough times, I'm going to allow this to happen to you, every time these people had the opportunity to glorify God in those tough times. But not every time did they glorify God. What are we to do? We're to pray for wisdom. We're to say, Lord, give me wisdom so I'll glorify you in this thing that I'm going through. What is the perfect work of patience? What will patience produce? Well, number one, patience produces spiritual maturity that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. But there's a second thing that patience produces, and that is patience produces future rewards. If we will just wait upon the Lord, when things aren't going right, if we'll just put our trust in Him, isn't it a strange thing where we trust the Lord for our very souls, but we don't trust Him to handle the day-to-day things that go on? We say we do. We'll get up and we'll say, I prayed about this and I know the Lord's going to take care of it. But yet, what do? We sit there and still worry about the thing. If you're worrying about it, then you're not really trusting the Lord to take care of the situation. What we're to do is we're to pray for wisdom and just trust the Lord, He'll take care of it. And if we'll do that, if we'll just have patience, when these tough times come, there's rewards in that. Now, look if you would in James chapter 1, look at verse 12. He says this. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, one of these days, we know if we're faithful, if we're willing to suffer for the Lord, we'll be able to reign with the Lord. And we know if we obey the Lord and we live the life that we're supposed to live, and we go out and we tell people about Jesus Christ and we take a stand against the evils of this world, we know that we're going to suffer persecutions according to that Bible. We know that there are going to be temptations. There are going to be times when the devil's going to stand in front of us, try to stop us. Any time that you've ever tried to serve the Lord, you know good and well the devil always will try to do something. He'll try to put some sort of roadblock in front of you. He'll put some sort of situation in front of you. But if you'll just endure, if you'll just endure with patience, the Bible says here that we're going to be one day rewarded for that. And it says here, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, the Bible mentions that there are five crowns that Christians can get, and I'm not going to go into what those five crowns are, but we're also told that once we get those five, or get those crowns, and like I said, you can get up to five of them that the Bible talks about. The Bible says one of these days we're going to be able to take those crowns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. I'm looking forward to being able to do that. I want to be one who has a crown that I can lay at the feet of Jesus, because the worst thing in the world would be for your Savior to walk around and you have an opportunity to lay a crown at His feet and you have nothing to lay there because you weren't willing to take a stand for Him and you weren't willing to live the life that He wanted you to live. And so that'd be a horrible thing not to be able to take the crown and lay it at His feet. But this crown of life is going to be given to those who patiently endure trials and temptations. Now, this is not the only place that this is talked about. To hold your place here and turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Because Revelation chapter 2, he talks about the same crown of life. And in Revelation chapter 2, it's under the same circumstances. There are people who are going to be going through the tribulation, and when they're going through the tribulation, they're going to be greatly tested. Their faith is going to be greatly tested. In other words, these people that go through the tribulation, if they do not denounce Christ, if they do not take the mark of the beast, they're going to be put to death. Now, if you don't believe that, read Revelation chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to Revelation chapter 19, and you'll understand that. But in Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 10. It says this. It says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." They're going to go through temptations. They're going to go through tribulations, trials. "The devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." You know what he's saying? If you'll just be patient, just trust the Lord to take care of things. When things get tough, if you'll just be patient, if you'll just endure the temptation, if you'll just be faithful, he said, "I'll give you the crown of life." These people are going to be thrown in prison. They're going to face the hard times. They're going to face harder times than we've probably ever faced here in this country. They're facing some hard times like some people are facing overseas today. But if they'll have patience when they're tried, if they'll remain faithful in the trying of their faith, one of these days they'll receive a crown, and so will you if you'll remain faithful and just trust the Lord. God help us that we learn to be faithful in these last days and learn to be patient in these last days. Patience is necessary for maturity, spiritual maturity. Patience is necessary if we're going to get rewards one of these days. But then the third thing, and that is patience leads to peace. Patience leads to peace. Now flip over, you would, over to James chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 7, beginning at verse 7. Patience leads to peace. In James chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now notice twice there he said, be patient, the Lord's coming. Be patient, the Lord's coming. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." Now watch. Then he says in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Now here's what he just said. He said when you read back in the Old Testament and it talks about the prophets, he said these prophets went through affliction. They went through these tough times. And they're an example to us, how they went through tough times, and they had patience. And then he says in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." So Paul is talking about here, when he's talking about, you know, with the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and how with long patience to receive the early and latter rain. What he's talking about here, he's talking about the law of the harvest. He talks about the husband who's waiting for the harvest. Notice in verse 7, it says the husband waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, when we know the law of the harvest is that we reap what we sow. That is the main law of the harvest. We reap what we sow. In fact, we reap what we sow. We reap more than what we sow, and we also reap later than what we sow. But notice that he says here in verse 7, he talks about the early and latter rain. The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. The early rain that came in the fall that caused the seed to germinate. But it was the latter rain that came in the spring that would cause the grain to swell and grow and be ready for the harvest. So what's James saying here? He's saying that what any farmer already knows, and that is it takes patience to be a farmer. It takes patience. Why? Because you're not going to get what you planted the next day. You've got to wait, and you've got to wait. And eventually you'll be able to get that fruit. You got to put the seed in the ground. You got to wait for it. There is no instant harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now here's the problem with us, folks. When we look here and we read about James talking about be patient, be patient. He gives us the example of the husbandman waiting for the fruit after the early and latter rains. And he says, listen, you plant one time, the rains come, it germinates the seed. You have to wait. Be patient, be patient, be patient. Because over here, that's when it's going to come up. Why? You're going to reap what you sowed. So he's talking about patience and how we're supposed to be patient. He gives us the example of the prophets and how they went through tough times and yet they had patience. And so he's going through all this thing. But then I want you to understand that us as people today, our problem is we don't have the patience that we need. Now, how do we know that? Because have you ever noticed how we want everything right now? Now, nothing's fast enough. My son, I remember talking to him on the phone here a couple of weeks ago, and I was having some problems with my computer. And he goes, well, what kind of computer do you have? Now, my son does IT work, and he knows things that I couldn't even imagine. I mean, in fact, when he starts talking to me about IT work, all I'm hearing is wah, 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 because I don't understand what he's saying. But he asked me, he goes, what kind of computer do you have? And I mean, my computer is not exactly the oldest thing in the world. It's 7 years old. But I guess a seven-year-old computer is ancient. Right. I didn't know this. And I told him what kind of computer I had. And he goes, oh, Dad, that computer's so slow, you need to get rid of it. I'm like, it's slow? He goes, oh, yes. You wouldn't believe how fast they are today. Not to me, it wasn't slow. But you know, that tells me that we always want something now. Faster, faster, faster. The microwave isn't fast enough, so now we got to have that new air fryer. You know, nothing's fast enough for us. The computer isn't fast enough for us. The phone isn't fast enough for us. Nothing's fast enough for us. We want everything right now. Would you agree that we lack patience? I sometimes wonder what in the world we would do if we ever had to go back. I was talking to somebody this morning who was talking about, you know, how he had I think it was Brother Ed was talking this morning, how he has a family member who's older, and I was telling him about my great-grandmother and how she lived in Kentucky. The only time I ever went to Kentucky is to visit her. But I remember in her house, she had an outhouse, no indoor plumbing. She had an old wood stove. That's what she cooked on all the time. And when you said, hey, I think it's time for a snack, you wasn't getting it real quick. Right. It wasn't. I mean, in fact, I mean, snacks were kind of, I mean, if you want a snack, grab an apple. Amen. Because, I mean, it took time to cook. Now, it was excellent. I'm just going to tell you, when it's cooked on that old stove, it tastes pretty good, I have to admit. But you're not going to get it quick. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world could we possibly survive today if we had to go back to the times where I had to use a wood stove to cook with? We'd die. Why? We want everything right now. We're not willing to wait. We're not willing to endure. Whenever we have if we have an ingrown toenail, the first thing we say is, Lord, please pray for me that the Lord will take this thing away. I want it gone now. We won't endure anything, even though we know that enduring is what's going to build our patience. Even though we should count it all joy when we go through diverse temptations, because we know that that's building our faith and building our patience, we don't count it all joy. We think it's the worst thing in the world. And so what do? We pray about it. And if we don't get an answer to prayer right now, you know what we do? We take it into our own hands and try to fix it ourselves. That's what we do. That's what some of the people in the Old Testament did. How did that work out? You know, one thing I've learned is this, is if you pray to the Lord and you say, Lord, help me out in this situation, and then you're not patient enough to wait for Him to take care of the situation and you want to do it yourself, the Lord will let you. He'll let you. And then you, after a while, when you're doing it on your own, you're trying to fix that situation on your own, you find out that you can't fix it anymore. And you know what you do? You get back and you start praying to the Lord and say, Lord, I've made even a bigger mess out of things. Lord, deliver me from this thing. Now, you say, I don't believe that. Well, how many of you remember the story of Abraham? Remember Abraham? Turn back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 16. See, the problem is with us, the same way with Abraham, sometimes we like to try to hurry the harvest. In other words, we pray, we ask God for something, And we know that God's going to answer that prayer, but he just doesn't do it fast enough for us because we don't have patience. Well, that's what happened with Abraham and Sarah. If you'll notice in Genesis chapter 16, notice what it says in verse 1. It says, "Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar." If you remember, Abraham and Sarah, they wanted a child. They were unable to have that child on their own, so they prayed to God to give them a child, and God answered that prayer. He said, "I will give you a child." Made the promise to him. But they couldn't wait. They couldn't patiently endure. They didn't have patience. And so Sarah here, she was unable to bear children at the time because God hadn't answered the prayer in their time. And so she had the handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. By the way, do you know where Abraham got this Egyptian? He got her while he was in Egypt. Did you know that Egypt is a type of the world? And you know, Abraham brought two things out of Egypt, and both of those things he brought up out of Egypt caused him problems. Both of them. You say, what are they? What are the two things that he brought up out of Egypt? Well, number one, he brought Hagar out of Egypt, and he brought cattle out of Egypt. Abraham didn't have any cattle until he went down to Egypt. And when he came back, he had cattle. And both of those things, both Hagar and the cattle, gave him troubles the whole time he had them. You know what that's teaching us? That's teaching us that, you know, whatever it is you may pick up in the world as a Christian, whether it be worldly thoughts or worldly conversation, worldly habits, even worldly wisdom, you know what that's going to do for you? It's going to cause you trouble the entire time for your Christian life. The things that you pick up in this world. Abraham brought cattle out of Egypt, and if you remember, those cattle caused him problems. You remember when him and Lot were traveling together, and all of a sudden they come there, and it says in Genesis 13:7, it says, "And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land." It was the people that were handling the cattle who were having strife. If he hadn't had the cattle, would they have gotten into an argument? We don't know, but I'll tell you this, it sure caused problems there. And so what happened? Lot ended up going towards Sodom, and Abraham went the other way. He got his cattle down in Egypt, and those cattle caused him problems. But he also had Hagar. Hagar was out of Egypt. And Hagar caused him some problems too. In Genesis chapter 16, look starting at verse 2. It says, "And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah." Now, they had already been told that they were going to have a son. But she wasn't patient enough. And she said, "Well, obviously the Lord's not going to do it. Obviously the Lord isn't going to give me a son when I wanted to have a son. So, you know, maybe I can obtain a child by this Hagar." Verse 3, "And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes." God had a plan. God's plan was for Abraham to have a son by his wife Sarah. But Abraham, rather than having patience, rather than waiting on the Lord and trusting in him to give the answer of prayer in his time, Abraham tried to hurry the harvest. He wasn't patient. And God let him do it. God let him do it. God let them have their own way. And when they got what they wanted, they didn't want what they got. And from that time on, there was no more peace in Abraham's household. Verse 4 tells us that when Sarah saw that Hagar had conceived, Hagar was despised in Sarah's eyes. And eventually Hagar and her son had to leave. And there's been no peace in the Middle East ever since. Why? Just because somebody wouldn't have patience. He prayed. He said, "Lord, give me a son." And the Lord answered his prayer and says, "I'll give you a son. Just be patient. Just wait on me. I know the right time. You don't know the right time. I'll give you the son in my time." But that wasn't good enough for Abraham. Wasn't good enough for him. Wasn't good enough for Sarah. You see, they couldn't wait. They wanted it now. And they took things in their own hands. And God let them do it. And look what it did to the family. Look what it did to this world. all because somebody didn't have patience. Go back to James chapter 5 and look at verse 11. Patience brings peace. Without patience, there'll be no peace. In James chapter 5, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Talking about endure temptations. And then look what he says. "Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Notice here that when he's given an example of patience, he uses Job as an example of a person who had patience. Would you agree this morning that Job had more trials and went through more things than just about anybody you know? I mean, I can't think of anybody who lost more than Job did, who went through more than Job. I can't imagine how the utter sadness that would have been in that house after he lost everything, both him and his wife. I mean, you're talking about lost their children, lost everything he had. I mean, everything that we would say would be worth living for, he lost everything. But you know, the Bible says that before it was all over with, not only did he get everything back, but he got more than what he started with. Why? He was patient. He was patient. Now you read all the way through there. I mean, Job obviously made he had some wrong conclusions and some things. But he had the opportunity to curse God and die, but he never did it. He had patience. In the end, he's like, you know what? In fact, when it first happened to him, you know what he said? "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's patience right there. When you say, listen, I'm going through something and it's so bad, but you know what? I'm just going to trust the Lord because the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. The Lord's in charge of it all. He's got a reason for this, so I'm just going to endure it. That's what it's talking about. And listen, folks, when you get to that point to where you can, with patience, endure temptations like that, if all of a sudden you get bad news from the doctor and you say, "Lord, I'm just going to trust the Lord, the Lord's going to take care of this thing." May I tell you something? If you truly do that, you're going to have peace. But if you're trying to trust in yourself or the doctors to try to fix it, you're not going to have any peace. You've got to trust the Lord for that. And when the Lord delivers you from this thing, when the Lord makes you well, when the Lord delivers you from the financial crisis or delivers you from a family crisis or from a health crisis, what's going to happen is you've waited on the Lord and all of a sudden the Lord answers prayer. You know what's going to happen the next time you face a crisis? You're going to have more faith in the Lord than what you did the first time because you saw him operate. You said, you know what? The Lord delivered me from this last time. He delivered me from this time. I think about a friend of mine years and years ago. I shouldn't say years and years ago. It was a few years back. His name was Bob. And he had cancer. And in fact, they told him that he was not going to make it even a month. But people continued to pray for him. And every time they prayed for him, it seemed like all of a sudden the cancer would go away. And then it'd come back. And it'd go away, come back. And Bob lasted for a long time. I mean, we're talking years. And the doctor said, "You'll be dead within a month." You know what? Every time that the cancer would come back, I'd call him and say, "Bob, I hurt his back." And he goes, "You know what? The Lord healed me last time. He'll heal me this time." Amen. And you know what? The Lord did. And you're talking about not only did his faith grow, but everybody had been praying for Bob. Their faith grew too because they're saying, "Wait a second, if the Lord can deliver him from this, he can deliver me from what I'm going through." And what's happening is this, is patience is having its perfect work. It's building the faith in a person. It's making a person more spiritually strong, and it's giving them peace. Folks, there is no peace like there is when you just turn it over to the Lord and say, "You know what? It's not in my hands. It's in the Lord's hands." I think about the upcoming election. I think about the things that's going on in this country. You would drive yourself batty if you did not put your trust in the Lord on this thing. Amen. You would. You would think that it's all doom and gloom if you didn't put your trust in the Lord. But I'll tell you this, since I've learned just to say, you know what, whatever happens, happens. The sun's going to come up on November 5th, the same way it came up on November 4th. And you know what? If the Lord wants to put this person in, so be it. He's got a reason for it. We're all going to heaven. We're supposed to keep on out there to serve the Lord. And I got peace on that. But you know, there are a lot of people today that don't have peace when it comes to politics. I mean, if you know that. I mean, they're all worked up and they're all everybody's got high blood pressure over this thing. Hey, listen, you can't control it. It's the Lord who does it. And when you go through these temptations, and when you go through trials, sometimes the Lord just allows you to go through things, you know, like he did Job. He just allows you to go through things so that you'll learn to put your trust in him. He will take you to a place to where it's called, we call it the end of the rope, to where you get to the point where you cannot do anything else about it. And then you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I can just almost hear the Lord up there saying, that's what I wanted you to do a long time ago, but you wouldn't do it. Amen? Amen. Patience. We're supposed to have patience. And that patience will do a perfect work in us. It'll bring us to spiritual maturity. We'll get rewards for it one of these days. And it'll bring peace if we'll just trust the Lord. That's all you have to do. Just trust him. Some ask you this morning, how are you doing when it comes to patience? Are you one of those people like Abraham and try to hurry the harvest? You want everything fast. You want it now. And anything happens, the first thing you say is, Lord, remove this from me. Lord, remove this from me. Hey, listen, if you want your faith to grow, you're going to have to go through some things. That's just the way it is. You're going to have to see the Lord work. You have to allow a patience to do a perfect work in you. How are you doing for patience this morning? I'm just going to tell you, I don't do very well in this area. I don't like it when things don't go right. I want everything bad removed, and I want to live in a perfect world. And so do you, if you're honest. How are you doing for patience this morning? Are you allowing the patience to do a perfect work in you? Have you gone through some things, or maybe you're going through some things even this morning, some sort of tough time or trial or temptation, and maybe you think it's the worst thing in the world. May I encourage you just to have patience and trust the Lord. He'll get you through it. He has in the past. He'll get you through it again. And when he does, the next time you go through it, you'll have more faith than you had this time. Count it all joy when you face diverse temptations. Is that you this morning? Let's stand.